Got to give Dave and Carissa a real round of applause for providing us with this Christmas music this morning. Aren't you glad to be here today?
Yes.
And we need to be extra grateful because for those of you who weren't at breakfast this morning, by the way, if you didn't come to breakfast this morning, you missed it. You should have been here. It was really good. We had lots of great food. And so we're so thankful, and we're thankful to Jared fixing the eggs and fixing the French toast. Wasn't that great? Wasn't that good? So let's give Jared a round of applause as well. But if you weren't here for breakfast, we are really grateful to be able to have church today because last night the power pole right out here at the end of our approach got hit. It's the second time in 53 weeks that has happened here at church. And so we didn't know how long we were going to be without power. We had heard some rumors that it might be 11 o'clock last night, could be 3 o'clock this morning, could be not till Monday. And so as a leadership team, we were praying very hard that it would be before this morning. And so God prevailed, right? Yep. Amen. So we're able to be able to do that. So we're just so grateful. Well, if you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for being here today. We are so grateful that you chose to come and worship with us. And when you came in, hopefully you received a welcome packet, and inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, that would just be a big help to us to just know that you were with us today. Also, when you came in, hopefully you received a bulletin, and hopefully the rest of you did that as well. So take out your bulletin, and let's take a look at some of the things that are going on here at Lake Hazel Bible Church the rest of today and throughout the week. So right after our morning worship service, we are going to have our church family meeting, and I encourage you to stay. And even if you are a guest with us, I encourage you to stay. Even if you haven't been attending Lake Hazel Bible Church for a long time, I encourage you to stay. Because this will give you an idea of how it is that we do business, the business of our church. And so one of the most important things that we're gonna share at our congregation, at our church family meeting this morning, is that we're gonna have you affirm our 2025 church budget. And so you need to be here for that. And so that'll be just a great time. So we're going to take about, after the worship service, we'll take about a five-minute break, have you all come back together, and then we'll go on with our church family meeting. This Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch at Goodwood, and that's the one over on Entertainment at noon. And JOY stands for Just Older Youth. But you don't have to be an old person to be able to come and join us for lunch. If you have the time available, we want you to come, and we want you to just share in that. It's a great time of just sitting around the tables and just talking as we eat really, really good food. And so Thursday night, we have Awana. It is You Choose Night. And so that'll be really great. Now, coming up shortly, we have our annual New Year's Eve party, and there's some details in there about that. If you read that and you don't understand exactly what it's saying, come and ask me, and I'll try to explain that to you. But hopefully you have that on your calendar, and you'll come and be a part of that as well. So if you haven't got a bulletin, you need to get one on your way out, okay? All right? You ready to worship?
Yes.
Ready to praise?
Yes.
Ready to sing? Ready to lift your voices and your hearts to God?
Yes.
I know I'm ready. Let's do it.
Would you all stand with me for this first song, Angels We've Heard on High? I totally understand that you are full from yummy breakfast, so if you can't sing with full voice, we'll fill in the gaps for you.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Here we go.
Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say, what may the tidings be? which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. See Him in a manger laid, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, with us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Go and be seated as we continue this morning.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you.
Would you pray with me? God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He came to be an offering. Lord, we want to bring an offering to you today, an offering of praise, of recognition, because you're worthy. Lord, we love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new King of kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
As we take this morning's offering, I'm going to just remind you that when we give for Jesus' sake. We don't give for the church's sake. We give for his sake. God, we want to give you an offering today, not just money, but Lord, of not just of our time either, but Lord, of our lives. That's what we're here for. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for taking every broken offering that we have and multiplying it for your great name. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you child that you delivered will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the brave is of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
It's amazing that at the beginning of our praise service this morning, we asked the question, what child is this? And before the message, we got the answer, didn't we? But you know what's even more amazing? Is the fact that this is the time of year that's set aside for us to be able to think about, to be able to appreciate, to be able to be thankful for what it is that God has given to us, his son, to go to the cross, to be our Savior. And yet there are celebration after celebration. There are things happening this Christmas season to where Jesus is left out. And all that he is, nobody even gives a thought to. We're going to talk about that a little bit more this morning. But before we do that, come on down, kids. We'll get you sent off to Children's Church. All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful that we have this opportunity to be able to have your word opened up to us. Father, we've sang from our hearts. Father, we've sang to you our praises because you loved us so much in your grace and in your mercy. You sent to us a Savior. And Father, I want that to be our thoughts, not only today, not only for these next few moments, but through the rest of this Christmas season, that we don't do anything without thinking about the reason why we celebrate. And that's because you loved us enough to send your son to us, to go to that cross, to give his life, to shed his blood so that we could have a Savior. So Father, whether we go to Children's Church or whether we stay here in the sanctuary, Father, may we hear more about you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a good time. All right, turn with me again in your Bibles to John chapter 1. We're going to continue on in our study for this Christmas season of Jesus. One Christmas day, there was a little girl who had just learned how to read. She was now allowed to distribute the family presents. And according to the family tradition, the one who distributed the gifts could open the first gift. After the gifts were distributed, she continued to look under the Christmas tree. Finally, her father asked her what she was looking for. The little girl replied, "I thought Christmas was Jesus' birthday, and I was trying to find a present for him. I guess everyone forgot about him." You know, that's what we just kind of talked about a few minutes ago, right? But here in John chapter 1, John is telling us that when Jesus was here on earth, there were people who didn't care about him or even gave him a thought. Hopefully by now you found John chapter 1 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 10 through 13. "He was in the world," the he being Jesus. "Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." There are people today that don't care about Jesus or even give him a thought, not just at Christmas time, but all throughout the rest of the year. And while many today do not seem interested in God or may even display apathy toward him, it's refreshing to know that people are coming to believe in Jesus as Savior. I see that on a regular basis. And they're wanting to learn more about him and to feel closer to God. Now, two Sundays ago, we learned how Jesus had his birth in Bethlehem, but not his beginning, because he always has been. Last Sunday, we saw how Jesus brings spiritual life into our spiritual deadness and spiritual light into our spiritual darkness. And today we're going to learn this truth. When you believe in Jesus as Savior, you become a child of God. You know what? If there's anything that makes Christmas special, it's that. That when we believe in Jesus as Savior, we become a child of God. And to comprehend this truth, there are four things we need to consider. Here's the first one. When Jesus came, he was not recognized. Jesus is not recognized. Look again at verse 10. And verse 10 may be one of the saddest verses in the book of John. Remember what it says? "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." Most people, when Jesus came, just ignored the incarnation of Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God himself with us. Not recognizing that he was in the world. And as we learned in verse 3, Jesus created the world. And yet the world, when he came, just seemed to yawn at the Messiah. When the Creator came into our world, His creation was not captivated. What did John say? The world did not know Him. Now, it's interesting. This word know in the Greek means to apprehend, to recognize, or to know relationally. One Bible translation says it like this. Jesus was in the world, and the world was there through Him, and yet the world didn't even notice. That's what John is trying to tell us. And there's always been division among people concerning Jesus. And when Jesus came the first time, Herod hated Him. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees ignored Him. And there was no room for Him in the inn. Only the shepherds and the wise men, the poor, the foreigners, the meek and marginalized, welcomed Him to earth. And not much has changed as we see the birth of Jesus celebrated less and less in a spiritual way. In 1932, Robert McGlimsey attended a Christmas Eve service in New York City and then headed back to his one-room apartment. As he walked the final blocks, he passed by the open doors of private clubs where people were partying. They didn't seem to have a clue that it was Christmas Eve, and if they did, they didn't even seem to care. As he stepped over people who had passed out on the sidewalk, he thought to himself, what a strange way to celebrate the birth of the most perfect person who ever lived on this earth. People are missing the whole significance of his life. And when he arrived home, he scribbled some words on the back of an envelope. These are the words he scribbled. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, they didn't know who you was. They didn't know you'd come to save us, to take away our sins. Their eyes was blind. They couldn't see. They didn't know who you was. That's what John is wanting us to understand, is that when he came here to this world that he had created, when he came here to his creation that he had created, they didn't even recognize him. They didn't even accept him. They didn't even want to recognize the fact that he was here. Are you ignoring Jesus this year? I hope you can answer that honestly with the answer no. That your focus this Christmas season is on Jesus. Please do not let this Christmas pass by without recognizing why Jesus came. Here's the second thing. Jesus is rejected. If verse 10 is sad, verse 11 is downright pitiful. Look at what it says. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Not only did the planet not appropriate Jesus, the eternal light, as a principle, but also people did not receive him as a person. Now, the word came here pictures the substance of Christmas. Jesus came to his own people, but they rejected him. And as we know, eventually shouted for him to die. While many are not interested in Jesus, others are angered by him. And still others reject him because they find him to be hideous. And this shouldn't be any surprise because it was prophesied. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 and 3, it says, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. Jesus came, and he came to the people who should have known him best, but they wanted nothing to do with him. Now, this makes it even more sad when we understand that this phrase, came to his own, really means to come home. To come home. Can you imagine what it would be like for those of you that didn't grow up here in Idaho, that your family members, your parents, your grandparents live in another place, and you show up to celebrate Christmas with them? You show up to be able to share in the festivities, to share in their lives, and they don't even take you in. In fact, they see you standing at the front door, and they don't even come and open the door. You've come home, but they don't even open the door. They don't even open their hearts and their lives to you. That's what Jesus experienced. He came home. And yet, by and large, people said, don't want to have anything to do with you. Jesus came home to his own people. Now get this. He came home to his own people who lived in the land he had promised to them. And they chose not to take him in. And I believe that many people today do not want to believe in Jesus. And I think there's a reason for that. And I think the reason is because they don't want anybody telling them what to do. They don't want anybody telling them how to live their lives. They don't want anybody telling them how they need to find eternal life in a place called heaven. They want to do it on their own. They want to figure it out on their own. They want to make their own choices. Because you see, when we accept Jesus, when we believe in him as Savior, when we take him in to be a part of our life, that means we now become accountable to someone other than ourselves. And the instructions that he has given us, the way that he has told us that we need to live because we accepted him, we believe in him as Savior, we need to follow those. We need to do those. We need to obey those. But I think by and large, the reason why people reject him is because they just don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Now, as I said earlier, there are still some who come to believe in Jesus. But the Bible tells us that most people are just looking in a different direction. So it shouldn't surprise us that Jesus is still rejected today. Here's another thing we need to understand. Jesus was received by a few and still is received by a few. Jesus is received by a few. Even though the world did not recognize him and his own people rejected him, there are still some who receive him. Look at verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Oh, those are sweet words. But to all. So what does all mean? Class, does all mean all? It does. All who what? Believe, right? But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This word but brings out a contrast from those who don't recognize Jesus and from those who reject him. And this word all is a reminder that Jesus came for everyone, not just for the Jews. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? As you're sitting here as a Gentile, aren't you glad for that? I know I'm glad for that. So you know what this tells us? It doesn't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it, you can still receive Jesus as Savior. If you're here this morning, I hope that you will believe in him as Savior today. Because no one is too far gone or too far away. Why? Because he came for all, but to all. Can you be part of that all if you're not already? Yes, you can be. And you can do that in the quietness of your heart. You can do that in the quietness of your mind. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to wait for an invitation to be given. You don't have to spend time with the pastor. You don't have to take classes. You don't have to do a list of man-made things. All you have to do is come to that place in your heart and your mind and say, I believe that Jesus went to the cross. He's my Savior. He died on that cross to pay the debt of sin that I owed because I couldn't pay it myself. And here the word believe has such rich meaning. Many years ago, Bible translators in the New Hebrides Islands were struggling to find an appropriate term for believe. They came upon a solution kind of accidentally while hunting with a tribe member. After bringing down a large deer and carrying it on a pole along a steep mountain path, they returned home and plopped into some porch chairs. And as they did so, the native exclaimed in his language, "My, it's good to stretch yourself out here and rest." The translator immediately wrote down that phrase, which ended up in the translation of John chapter 3, verse 16, that goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever stretches himself out on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that good? When we believe in Jesus, he gives us everlasting life. So if you're here this morning and you've never come to believe in Jesus as Savior, stretch out on the Savior and find the satisfaction that God's redemption will bring to your heart and life this moment. And notice here that we are instructed to believe in his name. So if we're to believe in his name, that means we're not to believe in any other name. If we believe in his name, that means we're not to believe in ourselves. We're to believe in him because he's the one who's our Savior. The word name stands for the sum total of his character and is used with belief in Jesus. And here's the meaning of the phrase, he gave the right. This means that God gave of his own goodwill by bestowing on us that which we don't deserve. Do we deserve him to leave the glory and the splendor of heaven, to come to this earth, to be taken on flesh, to be born in an insignificant town in Israel called Bethlehem, grow to be a man, was hated by the Jewish religious leaders, was rejected by his own people, was rejected by others, had conflict as he was trying to teach people, reveal to them who God is and to reveal to them what God's plan for them was, especially when it came to God's salvation. And then to go to that cross, to go through the mockery of a trial, to go through suffering, to have himself whipped, his beard pulled out by its very hairs, a crown of thorns set deep into his skull so that the blood ran down into his eyes and down onto his beard and down into his face and onto his neck. So that he was beaten beyond recognition. He was beaten beyond normal human energy and strength. And then he had to walk to the place of execution, trying to carry his heavy cross. And it was such a burden for him, he didn't even have the strength. They had to bring somebody else in to be able to carry that cross to the execution site for him. And then to be laid on that cross and have spikes pounded into his hands, through his hands and into the cross, and then bent around so that they wouldn't come loose. And the same with his feet. And then a spear being shoved into his side, and the blood and the water ran from that wound from his side. And to be in the hot sun, and to be able to experience thirst, and then when he cried out, I am thirsty, for them to bring him vinegar to be able to drink. He did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for all. And all we have to do is believe in his name. He gave of his own goodwill by bestowing on us his gift of his very own life, on which we don't deserve. And this word right, it's interesting. This word right in the Greek means permission, privilege, and power. So being a child of God is not a benefit we're naturally born with, but it is a right granted to us by the authority of God and administered to those of us who believe in his name. Those who believe are given the right and the might to become the children of God. Believers in Jesus are given total permission, full privilege, and complete power as God's children because we've been adopted into his forever family. Therefore, we are now authorized to lay claim to our eternal inheritance as children of God. Now what it said? But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Folks, you understand? As believers in Jesus' name, in believers in Jesus as Savior, we're not just ordinary folk. We're just not common. We're the children of God. Well, wait. We're the children of God. Yeah, that's a little better. When you woke up this morning and you were standing in the mirror, and if you were a man, you were shaven, those of us that shave. Some of you don't shave, and that's okay. All right. But you were combing your hair. Ladies, you were putting your hair all pretty because it was Christmas breakfast. We were going to church. How many of you looked in the mirror and said, I'm a child of God? You didn't? Well, you could have. You should have, right? Because we are what? The children of who? God, the creator of the universe. The creator of us. We're not just created. We're his children. I love that. Don't you? Wow. And when you believe in Jesus as Savior, you become the child of God. Here's the fourth thing, and it's the last thing. You can be redeemed by God. Did you notice what it said in verse 13? Verse 13 makes it clear that God's redemption does not move automatically from one generation to another. I want you to listen to this. God's redemption does not move automatically from one generation to another. Look at verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? God. So what does this tell us? We are not redeemed by our heritage. We are not saved because of who in our family we are related to. If I had a dollar for every person that has told me, well, I'm a Christian because my great-grandfather was a preacher, I could have retired years ago. And by the way, I'm not planning on retiring. It's not in my vocabulary. It's not in my, not on my radar. You're stuck with me. Okay? And I would say I'm stuck with you, but I'm never stuck with you because I love being with you. But it's not because of who our family is. It's not because our parents were believers. It's not because our grandparents were believers. It's not because our parents or our grandparents or our great-grandparents owned their own pew in some churches. We're not redeemed by our heritage. We are not saved because of who in our family we are related to. That's what John is wanting us to understand. It is not of blood. So if it's not of blood, it's got to be of something else. And what is the something else? It's Jesus. We are not redeemed by our holiness. We are not regenerated by following a list of rules and regulations. He goes on to say, nor of the will of the flesh. See, in our flesh, we can work, right? In our flesh, we could do things. In our flesh, we could do good things. In our flesh, we could try to do spiritual things. But none of that in our flesh brings us God's redemption. It's only by what? Believing. But to all who believed on his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. You see, you can't have verse 12 without having verse 13. We're not born of blood. We're not born of the will of the flesh. So if you've been trying to have God's redemption, God's salvation, by working for it, stop. Right now, stop. If you've been coming to church and you've been doing things in church because you think it's going to give you eternal life, stop. Because that's not what it's about. If you've been helping people in the community because you think that it's going to get you to heaven, stop. Now, it's good to do things in the church. But doing things in the church is not going to give you eternal life in heaven. Doing good things in the community is not going to give you eternal life in heaven. Giving money to the church, following a list of man-made instructions that a church may tell you is important for you to be able to have in order to get to God. It's not what it's about. So if you're doing those things for those reasons, stop. And just enjoy the fact that God's salvation is given to you because you believe in Jesus as Savior. Not because of who your family is, and not because of what you've worked. Because if it was about work, how would you ever know that enough is enough? How would you know? I tell people, if our salvation for eternal life depended on us helping little old ladies across the street, how many little old ladies would it take? One? 10? 100? You get the idea? How many would it take? How would you know when enough is enough? And what happens if there was a little old lady standing on the corner, hopefully not next to the power pole, but standing on the corner, and you think that she's wanting to go across the street, so you go over to help her, and she's got a shopping bag, and she's got a purse, you know, one of those purses that hang down that's about this big, and an umbrella, and you go to help her across the street when the coast is clear, and you get about halfway across the street, and she hits you with her purse, she hits you with the umbrella, she hits you with the shopping bag, and she turns around, and she goes back to where she was. Would that count? At least you tried. Would that count? You see, that's why it can't be based upon works. Because even if you did a half of a work, would it count? No, it wouldn't. I know, Jared, right? How ridiculous is that? But I'm here to tell you there are people in this Treasure Valley that are trying to do works because they think it's going to get them eternal life in heaven. And I'm here to tell you, can I be honest? If that's really what they're counting on, they're going to be surprised someday. They're going to be surprised someday. But I'm so thankful here at Lake Hazel Bible Church that we preach what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we have salvation for eternal life when we believe in Jesus as Savior. Jesus said, believe in me, you have eternal life. Believe in me, you have eternal life. Does he say, do this and you'll have eternal life? No. No. 1,000 times, no. We're not redeemed by our hard work. We do not become Christians through human effort. It says, nor of the will of man. God's redemption is a gift to be received, not a reward to be achieved by individual effort or the influence of another. Now, Jesus, when he was here on earth, shared these same truths. He shared them with a man named Nicodemus, and John tells us the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus in the third chapter of John. This man, Nicodemus, he had quite a resume. Nicodemus had an impressive heredity. History says he belonged to a distinguished and wealthy Jerusalem family. Well, if anybody ought to be able to get to heaven based upon their family heritage, it ought to be who? This guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus had an overwhelming holiness. He was a Pharisee. Not only that, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. His life was all about doing the right things that men had told him to be able to do. If anybody had a right to be able to live for all of eternity in heaven, it should have been Nicodemus. Nicodemus was an extremely hard worker. He displayed deep scholarship and devoted his life to the study of the Torah. He had taken a vow to work hard at keeping all of God's commands. If anybody should have been able to be eligible for eternal life based on their family, based on their holiness, based on their hard work, it should have been Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and he asked him a question. He wanted to know how to get to heaven. And in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, it's not about heredity or holiness or hard work. Jesus said this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did Jesus say, you know what, Nicodemus? Because of who your family is, you got eternal life in heaven with my Father. Did he say that? Did he say, because of your holiness, because you are devoutly a Pharisee, you serve in the Sanhedrin. You know the Torah backwards, forwards, upside down. You can even teach it. You are a teacher. So based on that, you have eternal life in heaven with my Heavenly Father. Say that? Nope. They say, you're a hard worker, Nicodemus. Man, you've done a lot for the Jewish people. You've done a lot for the group of Pharisees. You've done a lot for these people that I came to that have rejected me. There's anybody who deserves eternal life in heaven with my Heavenly Father, it's you. Is that what Jesus said? No, he said, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be born of above? It means to believe in Jesus as Savior, that he died on that cross to pay your debt of sin. He died on that cross. He became the sacrifice that God required for the price of sin. And it's interesting that Jesus, here in this conversation with Nicodemus, uses the same word that John used in verse 13. Nicodemus, just like all the rest of us, needed to be born from above. In John chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus said it even stronger. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above. Notice that Jesus does not recommend or suggest this new birth. He uses in the Greek, the imperative language of a forceful command, you must be born from above. Why? Because when you believe in Jesus as Savior, you become the child of God. Now, Christmas is all about God giving the greatest gift ever. And if you think about it, there are two responses to a gift. You can either receive it or you can reject it. And if you don't receive the gift of God's redemption, you've actually rejected it. And you will spend eternity in a place of punishment and torment. It's not my idea. It's not my opinion. It's what God's word clearly says. And understand this, you don't have to do anything really bad to go to that place. Because if you do nothing, you'll end up there. But you don't have to go there. And you don't have to do any work to go to heaven for all of eternity, because it's all been done for you by what Jesus did for you on the cross. And what does Jesus tell us? Just believe in him. If you believe in me, you have eternal life. And when you believe in Jesus as Savior, you become the child of God. So this Christmas, do not overlook Jesus. Appreciate and believe that he came to be the Savior, and let him be a part of your life. Oh, Father, that's our prayer today, is that we will not, as we go through this Christmas season, not overlook you. Father, that we won't put you in the background of all of the events, of all of the activities, of all of the things that this Christmas season brings. We will keep our focus on what Christmas is all about. The fact that you came to this earth. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You took on human flesh so that you could go to the cross to be the ultimate and acceptable sacrifice for the payment of our sin. Help us to appreciate and to believe that you came to be the Savior. And Father, may this Christmas, and even in the days after Christmas, may you be a part of our everyday life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand for our last song? It's called Honest Offering. And there may not be a gift under your tree for Jesus, but let's give him the best gift we can. That's us.
Tried to clean it up nice, tried to hold it all together. I'm living rich in the world, but a spiritual baker. And I've been waiting to give till I can give you something better. But you just wanted my heart. So here it is, all of it. Will you take it in this condition? Here I am, fully surrendered. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all. You turn the pennies in my hand into a heavenly treasure, because your kingdom rules by a different measure. And so I'm pouring out until I'm an empty vessel. Lord, here's my heart. The joy and the sorrow, yesterday and tomorrow, I let go, fully surrendered. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence I daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence I daily live. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all.
Savior, I surrender.